طيب بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم الحمد لله. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this opportunity to gather in his house, mashallah, on Jumu'ah. One of the things that I often think about and think about on Jumu'ah is a verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْسُوهَا, that if you were to enumerate the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would never be able to enumerate them. You would never be able to count them. The first blessing that I like to think about, perhaps it is overlooked by many of us, or I'm speaking for myself, is that He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite mercy, through His infinite wisdom, through His infinite giving, created us. That He subhanahu wa ta'ala brought every single one of us from a state of non-existence into a state of existence. I was listening to a lecture the other night, and the scientist said that the mathematical chance for a human being to be born at the time that they are born in, with the DNA that they are born in, is 400 trillion to one. 400 trillion to one is the chance that you have to come into existence. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْزُوهَا. The first blessing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought us into a state of existence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Insan, هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينَ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Has there not been a time when the human being was not even anything mentioned? And in the hadith we know that the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was and there was nothing with him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. كان الله ولا شيء معه وهو الآن كما كان. And he is now as he was at that time, not affected by anything from what he has created. So he brings us to that blessing of a state of non-existence into a state of existence, and then blesses us, alhamdulillah, to be of the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, and gives us the gift of iman. And iman refers to the shahada, and then secondly, the blessing to act on the shahada. Because there are many who have the shahada who are not coming to Jumu'ah, who perhaps are not concerned with salat, who are not concerned with the realities of their existence, which is the return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make that a reality for all of us. He blessed us by not having us walk around on this earth asking, who are we? And where are we going? And what is my purpose in this life? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he blessed us by being of the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi. And I want you to think about that for one moment in this. There's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam said, he said, قَالَ إِنِّي عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فِي أُمِّ الْكِتَابِ خَاتِمَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَإِنَّ آدَمَ لَمُنْجَدِلٌ فِي طِينَتِهِ وَسَوْفَ أُنَبِّيكُمْ بِتَأْوِيلِ ذَلِكَ دَعْوَةَ أَبِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَبُشْرَاتُ عِيسَى قَوْمَهُ وَرَأْيَا أُمِّي أَلَّتِي رَأَتْ أَنَّهُ خَرَجَ فِي مِنْهَا نُورًا أَضَاءَتْ لَهُ قُصُورُ الشَّامِ وَكَذَلِكَ أُمَحَاتِ النَّبِيِّينَ يَرَيْنَا. The Prophet ﷺ said a hadith that verily I am with Allah as recorded in the Ummul Kitab, in the mother of all books, that I am recorded as the seal of the prophets. When Adam was laying lifeless in the form of clay. And I will inform you what that means. He said, it means that I am the prayer, I am the manifestation of the dua that Ibrahim alayhi salam made when he said, Rabbana wa ba'ath fihim rasulan minhum yatlu alayhim ayatika wa yu'allimul kitaba wal hikma wa yuzakkihim innaka anta azizul hakim. Subhanallah. Think about that for a moment, that Ibrahim alayhi salam is making a dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send a prophet to them from amongst them, who will recite to them your words, ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will rehearse to them your signs, ya Allah. وَيُعَلِّمُهُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. This prophet will teach them the book, al-kitab, wal-hikmah. Is there not hikmah inside of the Qur'an? Indeed there is. But why does the ayat say, وَيُعَلِّمُ الْكِتَابِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ? What the scholars have said is that the hikmah is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is a manifestation of the Qur'an, as Aisha radiallahu anha described the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was the Qur'an walking. Sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And that he is the glad tidings of Isa alayhi salam. فَإِذْ قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ مِنَ التَّوْرَاةِ مُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِي إِسْمُهُ أَحْمَدُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So just think for a moment that Ibrahim is making dua. Isa alayhi salam is giving glad tidings of that prophet. And Musa, in a tradition, asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if he can be in the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This is a sahih hadith. What did I do? What did I do to deserve the honor to be in the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the prophets are making dua for, that the prophets are giving glad tidings of, and that the prophets are asking to be in the place of you and I? وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْسُوهَا. If you were to enumerate the bounties and the blessings of your Lord, you would never be able to enumerate them. What an honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us to be in the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What I want to talk about just in our remaining times is just a brief look of this concept of hardship and ease. That after hardship there is ease, and we look at it, how the Prophet ﷺ, what his life represented. But I first want to start off with this story. There's two stories here of two Sahaba. And just to show you that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala determines iman, that if you are running from it, it will find you. And if you are running towards it and are unable to find it, you will find it. The first is Safwan ibn Umayyah, that now we say radiallahu anhu. Safwan stood in opposition to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and took arms against him for 20 years. For 20 years, think about that. For 20 years, he stood in opposition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fighting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fighting him. And at the Battle of Hunain, it's reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on his riding animal. And he was riding through. They were about to divide up the bounties, the spoils of war. And in one valley it said that contained cattle, it contained sheep, and it contained camels. That Safwan came, because Safwan was of the four that were given amnesty at Fath al-Mekka. They were given 4 months They were given 4 months of a choice to either leave or to accept Islam. They were given amnesty. When the Battle of Hunain comes, Safwan fights on the side of the Muslims. In the Battle of Hunain, he's not a Muslim. Safwan fights with the Muslims. And at the end, as we said, when the Prophet ﷺ is distributing, or he is assessing the spoils of this battle, Safwan rides into the valley. And the Prophet ﷺ looks at him. And Safwan narrates that in the 20 years, I never looked at the face of the Prophet ﷺ. Whenever I was in his company, he says that I would turn in such a way that I didn't have to look at him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Safwan is riding near the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ looks at him and sees something in Safwan, and he asks Safwan, "Does this please you?" And the Prophet ﷺ gives Safwan 100 camels. He's not Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ gives Safwan 100 camels. And you know the story that this was the Battle of Hunain, that when the Ansar were not given from this spoils, and they complained to the Prophet ﷺ or voiced their concern about it, and the Prophet ﷺ said, "Would you rather it be that you are given these material things," I'm paraphrasing here, "or that the Prophet ﷺ will remain with you?" It's not about things. But Safwan is given these things. And think about that for a moment, of the context that we are in right now. Of those who are standing in opposition to Islam, and those who are trying to demean the stature of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which they never will be able to do. Where is it in our hearts to follow the prophetic example such as this is a challenge for us. Safwan is given 100 camels. And he looks at the Prophet ﷺ for the first time. And he narrates, he said, that I thought in myself, this cannot be the face of a liar. And from that generosity of the Prophet ﷺ, Safwan accepts Islam. And Safwan continues out, and the people in his community accept Islam. Now the interesting story of this is that Safwan is the son of Umayyah. And who is Umayyah? Umayyah is the chieftain. Safwan is from the chieftains of Mecca. His father was the man that used to torture Bilal radiallahu anhu. So Safwan has this transformation where he is taken from being an enemy of the Prophet ﷺ to being embraced as a brother of the Prophet ﷺ, and where Bilal radiallahu anhu is now his brother. When Bilal is the one who took the life of his father. Subhanallah. Al-Mudabbir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sets the affairs in order. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sets these affairs in order. If we will just allow this affair to be rolled out by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have trust in Him, we will see glorious things. The other is of Salman Farsi. Amazing story. Who was born as a Zoroastrian, converts to Christianity, makes his way to Persia, and into Syria, and then into Iraq. And it's in Iraq that he's actually captured and sold into slavery. And he's looking for the Nabi. He's looking for the one who will come, that last messenger. But look at the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him. He's sold into slavery to a Jewish man who brings him to Yathrib, who brings him to Medina. And when he's in Medina, who does he see? He sees the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he embraces him, and he hugs him, and he kisses him, and he embraces Islam. So again, on this journey, if a person is looking like they are moving away from Islam, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written iman for them, regardless of their situation, that iman will find them. And if a person is searching and searching, as I said, and not able to find, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a plan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a plan. And we look at the early parts of the seerah, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a plan. If you look at the hardships that are facing the Muslims right now, it's easy for us to give up. It's easy for us to walk away from the challenges. It's easy for us to complain to those around us and blame those around us. But we have to ask the question, is this the way of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We can fall into depression. I hear it many times. I have people come to me, why is this happening to us? Why is this happening to us? Read our history and see what the Muslims have endured prior to this. See what the Muslims have endured prior to this and understand that all of it is existing in the ilm and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of it is existing in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, this very quickly here. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this hardship, even just bringing us the message, was a hardship for him. Because we know the narration, the story, when he was in Ghar Hira, when the revelation came down and he said that Jibreel alayhi salam squeezed him, Iqra ma ana biqari, Iqra ma ana biqari, Iqra ma ana biqari, and we know the rest. Read, I cannot read. Read, I cannot read. Read, I cannot read. Read in the name of your Lord. The Prophet ﷺ said in the narration, he said with each squeeze, it felt like the life was being taken out of me. Alhamdulillah, we sit here 1,436 years later, benefiting from that hardship that he ﷺ endured. What will we endure? What will we be willing to endure to see that for whatever time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for this Islam to continue, that it will continue because we bore the hardships that were put out in front of us, and we stood up for the challenges that were put up in front of us, and we dressed ourselves in the form of the Islamic character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in these times. Innamal usri yusra. Fa innamal usri yusra. After hardship there is ease. After hardship, there is ease. The scholars have said that in mentioning this and acknowledging the difficulty of the Quran, it's to remind us that the revelation is not easy, that it will literally squeeze the blameworthy traits out of us and make us the best person we can be if we allow it to. If we allow it to. I just heard one of our teachers the other day, he said, whatever you bring to the Quran is whatever you're going to receive. Whatever you bring to the Quran is what you will receive. And this is in full accordance with the Hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنَا عِنْدِ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. I am as my servant thinks I am. I am as my servant thinks I am. If I think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-wise, is the all-knowing, is the all-merciful, is the all-forgiving, then that is what He is. Not because I think that's what He is, because that's what He said He is. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us the iman to be able to use this book and to be able to look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ and allow it to be a means of ease and facilitation for us in this world. And may it be a means for us to be heavy on our scales in the next world. Just in closing, in this thought of the revelation, that Khadija radiallahu anhu, she consoles the Prophet, which represents this idea of after hardship there is ease. And she reminds him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not afflict him with something bad when all that you do is good. What did she remind him of? She said about him that you take care of the orphan and you look after the widow, and that you give charity to people in need, and you help the oppressed, so how can your Lord abandon you? If we have stood upon these principles in our communities, then that is the reality for us as well. Irrespective of what we're seeing on the outward, it is not the outward that we are concerned with, it's the reality that exists with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is a story that we find over and over and over again in the Qur'an. That if you want to look at the outward, then Fir'aun is powerful. If you want to look at the outward, then Nimrod is powerful. And if you want to look at the outward, then all of these enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are powerful. But what's the reality? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That's the ultimate power. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to connect to that power. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the reality of Allahu Akbar into our hearts and into our souls. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.